ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, text number 2. Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva. Traigunya Vishayomuni.
Traigunya Vishayomuni.
Traigunya Vishayomuni.
Traigunya Vishayomuni.
Yosavalina Prakriti.
Yosavalina Prakriti.
Yosavalina Prakriti.
Yosavalina Prakriti.
Guna Sarga Puna Puna. Guna sarga puna puna.
Guna sarga puna puna.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Pravritti lakshanaschaiva.
Traigunya vishayomuni.
Traigunya vishayomuni.
Traigunya vishayomuni.
Traigunya vishayomuni.
Yosavalina prakrite. Yosavalina prakrite.
Yosavalina prakrite.
Guna sarga puna puna.
Guna sarga puna puna.
Guna sarga puna puna.
Guna sarga puna puna.
Word to word translation. Pravritti.
Pravritti.
By inclination.
By inclination.
Lakshana.
Lakshana.
Symptomized.
Symptomized.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Eva.
Eva.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Traigunya.
Traigunya.
The three modes of nature.
The three modes of nature.
Vishaya.
Vishaya.
Possessing as objectives.
Possessing as objectives.
Muni.
Muni.
Oh great sage.
Oh great sage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which.
Which.
Aso.
Aso.
That. Alina prakriti. Of one who is not freed from the clutches of Maya.
Of one who is not freed from the clutches of Maya.
Guna sarga.
Guna sarga.
In which there is a creation of material bodies.
In which there is a creation of material bodies.
Puna puna.
Puna puna.
Again and again.
Again and again.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O great Sukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is free from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer, and according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following this inclination, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described within brackets in the third canto. Okay, purport. We read the purport. All of you, please be attentive. It's very good purport, interesting. And then we'll discuss further. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 9.25, Yanti Deva Vrita Deva Prithri Yanti Prithir Vritaha Bhutani Yanti Bhuteja Yanti Mat Yajino Api Maha. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and to those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of the various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets because of his attraction to the material world. The Supreme Personality of God declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to the higher material position. But when one concludes that in the material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home, back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world. Yat gatvana nivartante taddama paramam mama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 19.151. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. According to the karmas, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to upper planetary system and some of them are going down into the lower planetary system. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary systems and sometimes down to the lower planets. This is a material disease which is known as Pravritti Marga. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to Nivritti Marga, the path of liberation, and thus instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home, back to Godhead. This is necessary. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Ena Tasmai Shri Guruve Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Ena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamahim Tathatiswa Tathatikam. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Hare
Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, we are into the second verse of sixth canto. Halfway through, right? Do anyone know how long it took for us to complete canto 1 to 6? How many years? Roughly.
12 or 13 years.
I don't know. You're the person to answer. Approximately 2011 or something, is it? That I'm saying. So probably around 8 to 9 years. Okay. So probably in the next 9 years we might finish Bhagavatam. Hopefully. If Krishna will win. Okay. What's happening so far? Review. Towards the end of the fifth canto, Sukadeva Goswami gave a very elaborate description of various planets, including hellish planets, and the terrible suffering of living entity in various aspects, in various planets as well. Yes? So it's so terrible, you know, it's terrifying, it's frightening. After hearing that, Maharaj Parikshit is a devotee, is compassionate in nature. We have to understand one point that Maharaj Parikshit has got only 7 days to live, and sixth canto is already on, which means almost 3 days is gone. 3 days are over for him. Another 3 to 4 more days is left over. But yet, he was so compassionate to ask what is the well-being of others, how the living entity can be saved from such kind of terrible pains. And therefore, Sukadeva Goswami is going to answer further in this cantos as we go. Initially, if you see the first 5 verses, yeah, I'm just going to read only one line. Just see what you observe, okay? In the first 5 verses. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit said, Oh my Lord, Oh Sukadeva Goswami, this is the first verse. You have already described in the second canto the path of liberation. Verse 2. By following this inclination, it traverses the path called Nivritti Marga, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in third canto. Text number 3. You have already described at the end of fifth canto the varieties of hellish planet that results from impious activities. Text number 4. Oh my Lord, you have described the dynasties and characteristics of King Priyavarta and King Uttanapada and all that. And now, in the 6th verse, Parikshit Maharaj is going to talk. So in the 5 verses, what's happening? What did I read now? 5 texts. I read the sentence, right? So what is it happening? What is happening there? Yeah. Maharaj Parikshit has been listening attentively. Yeah? And very intelligently, he repeats what Sukadeva Goswami has told him so far. Because even if you see, ordinarily in the professional circles, it is said that one must repeat what one has heard so far so that the understanding is clear and to avoid any potential misunderstanding. A teacher will do that. They repeat it. Yeah? In the same way, Maharaj Parikshit is intelligently repeating. Oh, Sukadeva Goswami, Oh my Lord, you said in the first verse, he said about Canto 2. And in the second verse, he says Canto 3. And in the third verse, he says Canto 4 and 5. And in the fifth canto, in the fifth verse, he talks about Priyavarta and all that. Yeah? So, although he's going to die in 7 days, he's constantly listening very attentively. So this is a point to note. Attention. Whereas we listen to only less than 1 hour of class, but we can't remember. Isn't it? Look at the attention of Maharaj Parikshit, which deserves mention here. So, in the first verse, it is mentioned about the marg. What marg is mentioned in the verse 1? Nivritti marg. So, in the second verse, pravritti marg, marg is mentioned, path. Hmm? In Vedic injunction, there are two parts that is given for a human. If we are a human, you are given two parts. That is what the Vedic science is. So what are the parts? One is Nivritti Mark, and the other one is Pravritti Mark. So what is Nivritti Mark? Which is said in the first verse. Nivritti Mark means the path of spiritual advancement, for which one must control the senses and the mind. Okay? The second one is Pravritti Mark. What is Pravritti Mark?
Sense enjoyment.
Regulated sense enjoyment. Very important. Yeah? Because sense enjoyment is only for animals. It's not for humans. Technically speaking. Pravritti Mark means animals. Because they don't have karma. It's not like that for the human being. So human being has to be regulated. Which means what? Senses are there. You want to enjoy the senses, no problem. Follow some authority. Yes? Follow authority. That is what it is. If you follow the scriptures' authority, then you are a devotee. If you don't follow, then you are a non-devotee, you are a demon. And demon generally do not follow
any rules.
Yeah. That is what that. They do not follow Nivritti Mark as such, and they do not have any concept of Pravritti Mark. Exactly. Got the point? This is what it is. Demons are animals. They do not know Nivritti Mark because they don't know spiritual advancement, nor do they have any concept of Pravritti Mark, because Pravritti Mark means enjoy but restriction. Follow authority. If you do not have authority, then you are a demon. You are an animal. That's what the scriptures are saying. So yesterday, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, you are talking about the subject matter relating to Canto 2. And he was saying, what was he saying? And what was Srila Prabhupada saying in the purport? Yesterday, just a quick recap, is Prabhupada says that naturally one has got an inclination for karma, isn't it? Because we are embodied, first of all. We have got senses. So naturally, it's natural, it's not unnatural. It's natural for us to see, to hear, to talk. Hands, movements. Yeah? It's natural for us. So therefore, people have a tendency to take up karma yoga first. Karma. And then, as they become wise, they take up jnana by getting knowledge. Huh? And when the knowledge matures, this is a point to note, when the knowledge matures, which Krishna explains in chapter 7, he says that knowledge matures, then he becomes a jnani. Because Krishna says that of all the types of people who surrender to him, the jnani is the best. So what is a jnani special? Because he matures. What is that maturity? The maturity means free from material desires. It's not an easy step though. Because we are doing Krishna consciousness, for us it's easy. But a jnani is not aware of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he has to control his senses by restriction. He must control. That is what his phenomena is, his procedure is. For us, it's not a problem. You offer it to Krishna and you eat it. For him, he has to control. No, no, no. Apple is the good, no, fruit is there. I will not eat. No, no, no. That's how it works like that. And once he matures in karma yoga, then he can come to bhakti. But having said that, bhakti yoga itself is so powerful. It doesn't depend on karma or jnana. But if you want to go through the process, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and then bhakti yoga. But Srila Prabhupada has directly given us this process. Bhakti yoga, where this bhakti yoga doesn't depend on karma yoga or jnana yoga. It's so powerful by itself. That is why I just read that one sentence which we discussed, which has been discussed in verse 1. Yeah? Just one point, that will be very clear. What is he saying? Bhakti yoga itself is so powerful that even an impious man with no assets in karma yoga, or an illiterate with no asset in jnana yoga, can undoubtedly be elevated to the spiritual world if he simply adheres to bhakti yoga. See? You need not have to have any assets. Assets means any previous sukriti. Straight away bhakti yoga is so powerful. That has been discussed yesterday. Okay, so in today's verse, Parikshit Maharaj is talking about subject matter relating to Canto 3. So what is said there? What is being said there? Yeah, he's talking about Pravritti Marga, which means the process of enjoyment with restriction. But because Srila Prabhupada introduced in the previous verse Bhakti Yoga, now again Srila Prabhupada is introducing one more factor in this verse. What is that? He says mercy, which is the essence of Bhakti. The essence of Bhakti is mercy. Without mercy, we cannot do anything. And how do we know that Srila Prabhupada is talking about mercy? What is the proof? What is the verse he is quoting? Brahmanda Brahmite Kon. By the mercy of Krishna, you get a spiritual master. By the mercy of the spiritual master and Krishna, you get Krishna and his abode, etc. So the mercy component has been described. Has been described in this chapter. Interesting enough. In this process of Pravritti Marga, it does not matter whether a person is pious or impious. What is pious? What is impious? Pious means you follow the religious scriptures properly, your prescribed duties. Yeah? Follow according to the religiosity or according to the scriptures, and therefore you get good credits, pious activity. But if you violate the spiritual injunction, it will lead to impious activities. So in Pravritti Marg, whether it is pious or impious, it does not matter. It's all the same. It's useless in one sense. Because if you get pious credits, what will you do? What is your next destination? Yes, go up, Srila Prabhupada says. If you are impious, what is your next destination?
Down.
So, Srila Prabhupada uses the word rotating. Jain to be, yeah? Rotating. One time you are on the top, yeah? And within few seconds, you know, you'll be down. And then within few seconds, you'll be on the top. So, rotating. Prabhupada used the word rotating in the material world. He did not say revolving. He used the word rotating. Rotating through different karma, through different species, bodies. So, in Pravritti Marg, it does not matter whether you are doing pious or impious acts. To prove this, in the story of Ajamila, what does it matter? Did it matter for him any pious or impious activity? No. How? How can you say?
Because he was very pious.
Why not? He was also pious when he was young. He was a Brahmana. You know what? You know, he has done the perfect, you know, as a Brahmana, he executed his prescribed duties. He was not just sitting and folding his hands like that. He was doing his prescribed duties as a Brahmana very nicely. So that was his pious credits. And then soon, that is how the nature, Srila Prabhupada says, material world is a disease. One will be infected by virus. We have seen that. Material world means infection, either through the mind or through the body. Through the mind, bad deeds. Through the body, coronavirus. You have got an anti-vaccine for the body. What is an anti-vaccine for your mind?
Hare
Krishna. This is anti-vaccine. How many people know this? Yeah? This anti-vaccine is given by the spiritual doctor. That anti-vaccine is given by the material doctor. The process is the same, but the approach is different. So Ajamila, in his young age, he was doing his, executing his religious duties very nicely. Please note this point. And then later on, a slip. And then he married a prostitute and etc. But what saved him? Devotional service. The Lord's holy name saved him. Not the pious, not the impious activities. Right? The Lord's name saved him at the end. Solpam abhyasya dharmasya dayato mahato bhaya. Little bit of endeavor in this process will make one perfect. Because that is how it is. Because Krishna, we are dealing with Krishna, who is perfect being. We cannot see anyone perfect in this material world. Yeah? Completely perfect. And completely spiritual beyond the three modes. Krishna. Therefore, the process is perfect. Everything is perfect. In short. So, impious or pious, it does not matter. Okay? And therefore, in Ajamila pastimes, what do we learn? It's going to come now. At least we learn two important aspects. What is that? The pious or the impious, it does not matter. And two, the holy name is very essential. That's the one which protects. Minimum takeaway is two. It does not matter in this material world, or in other words, any material activity which is producing pious or impious, it does not matter. Because it's useless. But what matters is devotional service to Krishna, the chanting of the holy name, that will come to our rescue. Right. So moving forward, now, in the purport, today's purport, Srila Prabhupada has said this one. Okay, what did he say? Those who worship me, come to me. Srila Prabhupada is explaining that. So, if one has no information about the Supreme Lord and His abode, one tries to be elevated only to the higher material position. But when one concludes that in the material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home back to Godhead. And if one attains that destination, he need never return to the material world. So, What is happening there? What is Srila Prabhupada trying to say? Yeah, that is right, Mataji. But what is essence? What is it trying to express? Any thought? No? See, most of the people, they do not know Krishna consciousness. That was running in Srila Prabhupada's mind. Okay? If you know Krishna, you go to his abode, isn't it? If you do not know Krishna, where will you go? That's a question. Where will you go? Where will we go if you do not know Krishna? Prabhupada says, what is that? Rotating. So, that is what Srila Prabhupada is again saying. If you do not know Krishna, then you know only the material world, correct? Because, see, if you know Krishna, you know his abode, spiritual abode, and then you have an intention or inclination to go. If you do not know Krishna, you know only the material world. Then what happens in the material world? Repeated birth and death. Because either you go up or down. That's the choice we have got. Or stay in the middle. Middle, up, down, middle. That's it. Because we are in the middle. For us, our choice is to go up or down. We do not have information. For people who do not have information, Srila Prabhupada is concerned. What will happen? They'll be rotating. Different births and death. This is his concern. Yeah? So, what is the root cause of this? Let us try to analyze a little bit deeper. The rotation. What is the cause of this rotation of this material world? Okay. So we will see what's happening. So in what is the reason? Krishna very clearly explains, and Srila Prabhupada also explains the purpose, that the main root cause is what?
Ignorance.
Yeah, that is there. But ignorance is the main root cause, which we have already, Srila Prabhupada already explained now. If you do not know Krishna, that's ignorance. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. If you do not have any information about Krishna and his abode, then person is in ignorance. When you are in ignorance, what will happen? Repeated birth and rotating. So that's the cause, ignorance. Apart from that, the main problem for us is the three modes of material nature. So Krishna explains in the 13th chapter, 3.22. What does he say?
Karanam.
Correct. Very important verse, which will lead to us. Okay. 3.22. No. Purusha prakriti sohi bhunte prakriti jam guna. Bhunte. What is a bhunte? Enjoying spirit. So why is Krishna saying enjoying spirit? What is he saying? Krishna is saying the living entity has got an enjoying spirit because we have been associated with this material world from
time
immemorial. See, if we live in a particular house, we are attached to the house, isn't it? If I am driving a particular car, see, I might have changed about 3 or 4 cars, but all the cars is only Toyota. I find comfortable. So, some particular attachment. So, if you live in a house, if you have a particular lifestyle, what happens? You are attached to a particular what?
House,
and you are in a particular framework, you are attached to that. And therefore, the propensity is there
See, we did not know. I did not know anything about Krishna consciousness in my previous birth, I guess. This birth, I know a little bit. So we are trying to do something. Yeah? So the previous birth, I don't know, I would be a dog or a cat or something. But it will work. And then I would have become something else. So I am associated with the material world. And therefore, my engine, my propensity is only to enjoy my senses. I do not know anything more than that. Because we discussed that in human being, there is only prakriti mark. And if I am a demon, without knowledge of Krishna, I know only sense gratification. And therefore, I do not know anything about Krishna. And this birth also, I will come to enjoy. This is what is happening. The living entity has got an enjoying propensity because of his contact with the material energy from time immemorial. That's the first reason. And second thing, what happens? The living entity, he does not know spiritual energy. Isn't it? See, if I don't know Krishna consciousness, what will I do? I'll eat, I'll go to a hotel, you know, I'll do bar, anything, etc., etc. Because I do not know. So I associate with the material energy. Why? To enjoy and to control. Isn't it? Material energy, we enjoy the control, you know, with my senses. I want to enjoy and control. That's point number two. And three, what happens to material energy? Does it say that, yes, you are material, you are a living entity, I just keep quiet. What does the material energy do to you? If you associate with the material energy, what does it do, Prabhu?
It will drag you down.
Yes! This is what we learn. Every day we learn. The material energy binds you and gives you bodies. If you come to me, I'll give you different body. That's what the material energy is. But I'm saying I don't care, I don't mind, I'll come to you. Different body, see? If you act on the soul, no more bodies. If you act on the body, one more body. That is how it has been designed like that. Yes? So, how we are acting upon? Are we acting on the body or the soul? If I act as a body, yeah, I will get one more body. Body produces another body. But soul, if you realize, if you self-realize, and if you know that, yes, I am a spirit soul, and then worship the Lord. Not only you have to stop with that. Obviously, if you know that you are a soul, you will come to Krishna. Because a tiny soul always wants to unite with the Supreme Lord. So, and if you unite, then there is no more bodies. This is what scriptures are saying. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is again and again and again trying. One chapter is given for three modes of material nature, chapter 14, to understand how it works, how it binds, and how one can be freed from the three modes. So the biggest problem is three modes. Yeah? Now, when we say that the material nature binds and gives other bodies, what is happening during the transaction? Some transaction is happening. Material energy binds us, gives bodies. Yeah? And in that transaction, what is happening? There's something happening there. Any thoughts?
Well, we get attached to that, become bound.
Bound? So, tighten. And how is it happening? A little bit deeper. Okay. I'm giving a hint, okay? We are having gross body and subtle body. And we are spirit soul. Yeah? We are a combination of body, matter and soul. Soul is there, spirit soul is there inside the body. We have got gross body and subtle body. And when we die, the gross body is destroyed. Because it's material, matter destroyed. But the subtle body is not destroyed. The subtle body goes with the soul. So what is happening there? How does the subtle body get another body?
Depending on the thoughts of the mind.
Yes. That's what it is, impressions. Impressions are created on the subtle body. That is our problem. That is what is leading. So any material activity means impression. Any Krishna conscious activity means rabbi. Yeah? See, Priya has written very nicely all this. Yeah? Material activity means writing on the board. See, it is clear. No one can say, what oh great say Sukadeva Goswami. Very clear. This is what is there in the mind. Impression. I do an activity, impression. Activity, see. But tomorrow, before that, she will be rubbing it. So Krishna conscious means rubbing. The mind will become clear. Like a white board. This is super. This is a process. Chanting will clear the mind. So for people, imagine, for people who are not chanting, what will happen to their mind? Can you imagine for a minute? It's very scary, yes. Very scary. Sometimes I think, even one day, you know, if it is delayed, for example. What will happen? This is what happens. So tomorrow Priya is going to write verse 3 on top of verse 2. That is what is happening. All the people have got nice appearance, but in the mind, you know, confused. So this is known as samskaras, impressions are created. Vedically, we have got a lot of process to refine ourselves. When a child is born, naming ceremony. When he goes to school, one ceremony. When he is married, Vivaha ceremony. When he is dying, some ceremony. This is all removing samskaras, refinement. But do we have that as people following now? No. So what is happening? They become so mad. Impression, writing on the board again and again. Verse number 1, verse number 2, verse number 3. And someone comes and says, give a Bhagavatam on verse number 3, he'll be lost. This is exactly happening. Infection. Srila Prabhupada says material disease. Infection. How does it a disease come? Does it come like itself? How does a disease come? Infection, isn't it? Infection. First, it has to be infected. So this material energy infects you, and then you get a disease, and then you rotate. That's what the process. Yeah. So through the sati and our gross bodies, we perform activities which may be pious or impious, which may help us or which may make us to go up or that is due to impressions. So we should be aware of our samskaras, impressions. How are we going to do that? Krishna is again talking in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 6. Krishna says, with the help of your mind, you should go up, elevate, don't go down, don't degrade. So how do we do that? Again, Krishna is giving a process. If you are attached to sense gratification, then it is a the mind will degrade. If you are detached from senses, then the mind will upgrade. Because the senses and the sense object has got a natural affinity, and that is stored in the mind as impression. And therefore, detached from sense objects. The sixth chapter. And by detaching from the sense object, you can elevate. Otherwise, you are degrading, isn't it? Explains. And for us, the problem is we don't think, oh, I detached from this sense object, I detached from this. Simply, the process is very, very simple. Use everything in Krishna's service. Because it's beyond the three modes. and therefore no promise. You have to eat, take prasadam. You have to hear, hear Krishna Katha. What is the problem? It's so simple process. In that process, the mind becomes very clear. Then the mind is able to see the soul because it's very clear. Right now, if my glass is so contaminated, right? Although I'm wearing my glass, I cannot see because the contamination is there. The soul sees the outside world through the mind. Now, if this specs is clear, then I can see. If it is contaminated, I cannot see. So, if the mind is clear, one is able to see the soul, perceive the soul. This is a process, Krishna consciousness process, given by our founder and Acharya Srila Prabhupada. About later. Later, after the class, you can ask questions. So this is a process given to us by Srila Prabhupada. What a wonderful process. Clearing process. Cleaning process. And not only that, this birth, Sri Chaitanya Charan Prabhu very nicely says, three things are important. When we are taken birth, right, he talks about the three points. What is that? Do anyone remember? Nature, nurture, culture. The three things also is very important in our forming the samskaras, impression. So, what is nature? Prayer. What is nature? Nature, nurture, culture. Yes? What is nature?
Our natural inclination.
Yes. Nature means swabhava. Swabhava. Our. What I made up of. That is swabhava. That is nature. Then culture. What is a culture?
Association.
Culture is where I am born. See, I am born in South India. And my culture will be based on that state. Yeah? My language, my style, the festivals and functions, and the eating style. Everything depends on my culture, where I am born. Yeah? That is culture. So we know what is nature, which is swabhava. Second one, culture is our set up where I am born, which state, which country, all this matters. And what language, all this matters, where I am put into that. The third one is
nurture.
What is nurture?
How you been brought up.
Yes, upbringing, family upbringing. If I am born to a meat eater, I will eat only meat. I am not going to eat fruits. But that's later. But when you are born, I'm talking when you are born, it matters. And therefore, the samskara will change, obviously. That is why we've got a process. But I'm just saying, what are the things that influence our impressions? Yeah? Because you are just doing the same thing again and again. So impressions are created. You're not rubbing the bowl. So eat something, Whether you eat or you smoke or you drink or something, whatever may be. Again and again, again and again, impressions. And then it becomes a cycle. What is the cycle? Vritti. Vritti is a thought, it will come. Next is impressions, samskaras done. And then it gives you vasana, tendency. And that is stored in chitta, in the consciousness. And that produces karma. And because of that, you get a psychophysical body. It's a rotation. Anything in the chitta consciousness means very bad. It's going to create another body. See, even for us, it may sound a little bit odd or rude also, but it does not matter whether you are a devotee or a non-devotee. It does not matter. We will have reapers. But Krishna says, if you become my pure devotee, then there is no rebirth. Unless you become a pure devotee, the chances are very limited. Yeah? Krishna takes care of us. See, I'm not saying that, okay, Krishna is going to leave us high and dry. But the point is, we should endeavor to become a pure devotee. Yeah? Otherwise, the birth and death is going to come. Next birth also we may become a devotee. Yeah? But we should endeavor to become clear, become purified. That's a point. Very important point I said. Endeavor to become a pure devotee. Okay. Now, when we spoke about Swabhava, there is a story to discuss. Because I know that all of you are a bit tired and you know. So, a story will make us happy. Swabhava story. Do you know the story of a tiger and a traveler? No. You know? Okay. You know, Prabhu? Would like to know?
Of course.
There was a tiger. What would the tiger do? Tiger was fish. Yeah? And it used to hunt and all that. Now, in the process, the tiger also became old. It became an old tiger. Then it was being very tired, you know, to look for the food. So it was thinking, I should have a retirement plan. I should have at least more superannuation fund. If I don't have superannuation, who's going to give me pension? Krishna comes next, but I have to take care of myself. Yeah? So, as a tiger was thinking, by Krishna's mercy, it got one gold bangle. He took the bangle and said, okay, this is my superannuation. Now I can retire. Yeah? Once you have a superannuation, you can retire, Prabhu, correct?
Mahatma Prabhu was better.
Yes. So, the retirement plan of our tiger has come with a gold ring, nice beautiful gold ring, it found out somewhere on the road. Then it sort of let me plan. So what it did, let me become a ISKCON devotee. Or a devotee. So it went, it put a tilak, and it put all the dhoti and all that, and it went near Dham. It's a story in Priya. Dham, and it sat in front of the Dham. Yeah? Next to that was a gold ring. But till it's a tiger. Okay? So some of the people at a distance were asking, hey tiger, what are you doing? He said, I have become old, I am renounced. I've done lot of pious and impious activities. But especially more impious because I've been killing people around there. Now I want to purify. I want to be pure soul. And therefore I'm trying to meditate and all that. So some of the people said, oh, very nice, very nice. They were still very far from the tiger. Again, the tiger said, okay. Then, one of this guy, not obviously, you know, someone has to become a victim. So, one guy came closer to the tiger and said, what are you doing? He said, the tiger said the same thing. And he said, listen, I've got this gold ring. What is the use of me, my gold ring? It's a waste. If you want, you can take it. Then that guy said, oh, you are a tiger, I can't believe you. Then, okay, what to do? Even when people change, people don't believe. Okay, what do I do? I'll take this gold ring and put it into a pond, you know, next to that there's a pond. Okay? It's a quicksand pond. I throw it there, you can take it. But the person did not realize, you know what's a quicksand? When you go, you keep drowning, you know, you cannot escape out. Once you go into that pond, you cannot come out because it's sucking in. So when he put that, the tiger put that, this guy thought, okay, I can go and take it, you know, it's in water anyway. And it looks like the tiger is, you know, wise. He doesn't want, what he says is correct. The moment he went there, he got stuck into that pond. And then the tiger came forward and he said, I'm going to help you. Again, this man believed. So he was telling, gave his hand, you know, to pull out, the tiger pulled and had a very good prashadam. So, what do we learn from this? Doesn't matter. We have done a lot of austerities. I have done a lot of austerities. I have done a lot of chanting. But still, my swabhava will not change easily. Impressions. So, it is not easy to change the swabhava of a person. It's a very, very slow change. I'm not telling this to put everyone off, but it's a fact. Sometimes Bhagavatam is very tough too. Balaswami Maharaj, in one of the class, he was just basically talking, looking at me also, he said, sometimes anatha nirvriti will take a few lifetimes, and he looked at me, and I said, well, Maharaj, gone, hope, no hope, I thought. He looked at me and he said, sometimes anatha nirvriti will take a few lifetimes. He looked at me, so what does it mean? That swabhava is not easy to change and it may take a few lifetimes. So we have to be seriously endeavoring. It's not that, you know, that yes, I become a devotee, then, you know, Krishna will take care of me and everything is done. And that's it. It's not like that. Although we are children of Krishna, Krishna will take care. But you know that our process is not a kitten carrying, a cat carrying a kitten and walking away, full responsibility. Ours is not like that. Our process, Acharya says, like a monkey and the kid process. The monkey holds the baby. The baby also holds the monkey. Ours is not a cat and a kitten process. And when the cat carries a kitten, the kitten is completely, you know, free. Oh, okay, mommy, do whatever you want. No. Acharya's honest. Our process means you do, Krishna will help. You do, Krishna will help. Oh, Krishna, you only help, I'm sorry. No, that's not our process. Sorry. That's what it is. We have to do endeavor and then Krishna will reciprocate. Again, we have to do Krishna will reciprocate. That is how you go up the stairs. You don't, if you want prashadam on the upstairs, you don't stand on the first step and you say prashadam, prashadam, it's not going to come. You have to put your leg on the second step, then third step, fifth step, 20th step, and go and sit down. Yes, that is how it is unfortunate. Kapila Muni, interesting enough, in the third canto, 32nd chapter, from verse number 18 onwards, about a series of verses. Interesting. Note this one, Priya. Third canto, 32 chapter, verse number 18 to up to 28, a series of verses, 8 to 10 verses. He is talking about Pravriti Maharg. Kapila Muni. Yeah? The mother of?
Son of
Devahuti. Kapila Devahuti's son. He is talking about this very, very seriously. What is he talking?
Prabhu.
The chapter name is Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. The Lord condemns Kapila Muni is condemning people who are doing ritualistic activities, but their awareness of Krishna consciousness. You know the name Kapila Muni is calling? Can you guess what he is saying? What is the name he is calling them? A person who is interested only in your welfare, karma kanda, me, my family, my friends, me. For them who is interested, although they can do karma yoga, that means karma kanda, which means they can do everything religiously. But they don't want Krishna. They are averse to hearing the nectarian pastimes of Krishna. You know what Kapila Muni is telling them? If you don't know, see that. Lord condemns people who are performing Vedic karma kanda rituals but averse to hearing the nectar of the activities of Supreme Personality of Godhead are compared to stool-eating hawks. The same people Krishna has glorified in Bhagavad Gita. What is the Lord saying? Lord is saying, tapa, what is tapa? Austerity. What is dana?
Charity.
What is sacrifice?
Yajna.
Yajna, dana, tapa. Sacrifice, austerity and charity. Even great souls must do that for their own purification. Krishna is talking about these people. Even if you do ritualistic activity, that is fine. If you do tapa, dana, yajna, you please don't stop it, continue. It is good, it purifies you. But the same process, if someone is doing and they got an averse to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then absolutely it's useless. So Kapila Muni is explaining. Yeah? So, coming back to this modern civilization, what is the modern civilization doing? The modern civilization is encouraging mode of ignorance and passion. It does not want mode of goodness. And therefore, what would be the next destination? What do Krishna says, Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita, if you are in a mode of passion, what is your next destination?
Here only.
Yeah, in the same little word. If you are in the mode of ignorance, down or animal. Not that you are going to always go down. You can also become an animal. Mode of ignorance means animal. Mode of passion means human. Mode of goodness means semi-gods. Even demigods, if they are not pure, they are not going back to Krishna. They have repeated births, okay? Because we think, oh, demigods, they go to Krishna like that. No. It all depends. They are all elevated souls, though. But if their consciousness goes down, they have to come back. Manikvara and Nalakvara, we saw that. They are demigods, okay? They are not ordinary people. Some of Kuberas, you know how opulent they are? We are reading Damodara Astaka every day. Demigods have become trees. What do you talk about this? And Krishna has to come and purify them and to, you know, give a different destination. So it's not that demigods are going to go up all the time. They can come down too. Yeah? Imagine a demigod becoming a tree. Not even an animal. No movement. So this is what is this process talking about. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam is all talking about this. Maharg. Maharg means, you know, path, process. And this is meant only for humans. The Nivritti Mark and Pravritti Mark is not meant for animals or demons. It's meant for humans. Humans need one to follow religiosity. Religion. Religion means scriptures. Love of God. Okay, and finally to conclude, Srila Prabhupada says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasadeka Bhaktita Jati. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to the process of Nivritti Marga, the path of liberation, and thus instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home back to God. Yeah? So, the process is to conclude, what we have to do is, initially, yes, one may take the path of Pravritti Marga, which is regulated sense enjoyment. But sooner, one should move to Nivritti Marga, which is the path of spiritual advancement. And then onwards, one must progress. And in that way, one can stop the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, the cycle of birth and death will continue, regardless whether you are a devotee or a non-devotee. If one becomes a pure devotee of Krishna, then one can go back to Krishna's abode, and in that way, he can stop the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, it continues. That is what we have to understand. Okay. So, I stop here. And if there is any quick questions or comments, you will see. You will mind. Because sometimes when I hear the Srimad Bhagavatam online, I do not know the question. Yeah? So it's a good idea to keep the mind. Sometimes he hears.
Hare Krishna. So why do you think of Amrish Maharaj? Life of King Amrish.
So what is it? What do you know or what do you want?
Is there the right path? How King Amrish was advancing so purely, so wholeheartedly? So what are you doing about it?
Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj is a pure devotee. He used all his senses in the service of the Lord. And therefore, he is a pure devotee. So, the takeaway will be that we should also engage everything in Krishna service. Because all his senses, eyes, he used for seeing Krishna, ear Srimad Bhagavatam, mouth for chanting Krishna's name, hands for washing Krishna's temple, leg for parikrama, everything used. So, we should use that as an example. And if not all the senses, at least one sense we can use, thoroughly for Krishna, chanting. Our process given by our founder Acharya is Shravana and Kirtana. Then all other processes will follow. First is the fundamental aspect of devotion service is Shravana and Kirtana. Hear and chant. Chant and hear. All will follow. Yes.
Thank you for the class. I'm actually a little bit confused about the pious activities, because sometimes pious can also refer to as devotional. So, because like in the case of Ajaman, he did pious activities and he did his prescribed as a Brahmana, but it's not like a part of his duty also to worship the Lord. So then, is that devotional or is that pious in the sense we spoke about pious today?
Can you repeat the last sentence? I'm sorry.
No, I understand.
Last sentence.
So, in the story of Ajaman, he did his prescribed duty. So, before he took up simple activities, he did his prescribed duties as Brahmana. But maybe I'm wrong, so you can please correct me, but I think that a part of the prescribed duty is worshipping the Lord. So, then would that be devotional? Like, when he did that, or? Because it's a bit, sometimes it's confusing, like the pious, if that's good karma or if that's devotional activity. And in the case of Ajamrat, he could have worshipped the Lord as part of his prescribed duty, so then does, is that devotional?
Now, the scripture says that Ajamrat was a Brahmana. He did not say that he was a Vaishnava. So he did Brahmana, everyone has got prescribed duties. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishnava, Sudra. And therefore, Ajamrat was executing his Brahminical activities, which is his prescribed duties, and therefore he was leading pious activities. The devotional service, we have to understand, is beyond pious and impious activity. Devotional service in Bhagavad Gita is termed as akarma, which is not producing pious or impious. Yeah? So when someone does the prescribed duties, they get good karma. When someone violates the prescribed duties, which is vikarma, then they get impious activities. So initially, when Ajamrat was young, he was doing his Brahminical prescribed duties, and therefore he was getting a lot of pious things. But later on, because of the sleep, you know, he was doing impious activities. For his pious, he will be rewarded. For the impious, he will be punished. But his impious was so much than the pious, and therefore the Anuruddhas thought that let us punish him first before we give the reward. But due to this, what we call this Gyana Sukriti or something, maybe I'm just thinking, maybe through one of his lifetime or one of his early days, he would have seen a Vaishnava. He would have said Hare Krishna, whatever it may be. I don't know. Or he would have said Allah, something, some Sukriti. He would have given a banana to them, something. I don't know. Some Sukriti has done in terms of devotional service. And therefore, that has helped him out, you know, to chant, to keep his son's name as Narayan. Because a person who's sinful, right, they won't be keeping the son's name as Narayan. Some Sukriti is there. And because that every time that he was calling Narayan, his devotional credits was increasing. Like that. You know? See, initially when we come to Krishna conscious, you know, we don't have much things. Because the devotee's mercy, they give us the mercy and we have very small faith. And then as we progress in Krishna consciousness, the faith increases. Knowledge increases and Lord's mercy also increases, you know, like that. Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think so. I understood that because of his past, some devotional credit, he got, he basically named his son Narayan, which helped him. Because I was also thinking that. But it's not related directly related to the class today. But I was also thinking that because he chants Narayan's name so much on calling out his son. But it was only towards at the point of death when the young Dudas had come and the Vishnu Dudas came, basically. So but I had heard that because at the point of death his chanting was offenseless, like without offenses. But until that time, he was just chanting with offenses because he was still committing sinful activities. So that's why they came, the Vishnu Dutas at that point. But,
yeah. You can see as the chapter unfolds, you see a lot of things will be clear to you.
Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavad Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitha Gaurav Prabhupada.